Well, it is good to be amongst you this morning. I bring you greetings as well from Providence Chapel in Cheltenham. My text is found in verse 31 of the third chapter of Judges. Judges chapter 3 and the last verse, verse 31. We read, "And after him," that is after Ehud, "was Shamgar the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." Friends, the Bible is filled with tales of unknown or obscure people who appear on the pages of this book, and then they promptly disappear. We oftentimes know their name, or sometimes we do not know their names, and we know a little of what they did and how mightily God used them. They are people who step out of the shadows, as it were, and do something for God that makes an impact for the name of our Lord, and then they go back into the shadows from which they came from. Are you in the shadows? Are you known? Is your name known amongst men? It does not matter if our name is known amongst men, but to be known of God, that is the greatest thing. To be known that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that is the greatest thing that a poor sinner like us can ever experience and have. Most of these characters from the Word of God who were real people, historical people, they come, they do something for the Lord, and they fade away, and they are not mentioned again. Let me mention a number of these people. There is a list of great men in 2 Samuel 23. One man is called Adino. He was one of David's mighty men. He killed 800 men at one time with a spear. There is another man mentioned in that chapter, Eleazar. He was another of David's mighty men. He stood boldly in the day of battle, and he fought so long and killed so many of God's enemies and God's people's enemies that his hand would not open. It clave to his sword, and he could not release his sword. There is Shammah, again in the same chapter, another of David's warriors. And he stood in the field of lentils or peas, and he fought the Philistines, and God gave him victory over them. There was the woman of Zarephath, the scripture speaks of. She fed the prophet Elijah and sheltered him during a famine. She did a service for the Lord and is mentioned. There was the Israelite maid who told Naaman about the man of God. We don't know who she was, but she witnessed for the God of Israel. And we have that wonderful account of Naaman's conversion. There was that boy who came with the food that he had, and the Lord greatly used him. And the Savior was able to feed multitude of people so miraculously. We could go on speaking about the lady who washed the Lord's feet, and we could mention about Joseph of Arimathea, who at a great personal risk and cost buried the body of our Lord. We could go on. It seems that from the Word of God, God chooses to use those who are unknown or obscure to accomplish His work in this world. And the passage before us is no exception. It introduces us to this man Shamgar, an unknown man who appears on the pages of the Word of God and is used of God in a great way, and then vanishes back into the shadows from which he came. Not much is known about Shamgar. I wonder if you've heard a sermon on Shamgar. But we learn much from this man of God. And I trust that the Lord would speak to each one of us this morning. Only twice the scriptures talk about Shamgar. One is in this verse and once in Judges 5, verse 6. And what we learn of this man, what we learn of these few words of this man, it teaches us the kind of character this man had and the courage this man had. With the little he had, he served the Lord, and the Lord used him. Your name might not be known. Your work might be very tough. You're in a situation where you think that you are alone and all have fled away. No one to help you. Well, here was a man. Unknown believers have many battles, but by God's grace, we can serve him. For such a time, the Lord has brought us here. In this society, in this land, many of us from different walks of life, but the Lord has brought us here by his grace. We are not known by most of this world, but known of God. What shall we do, friends, today? How shall we stand in our day? There are a number of things that I want us to think about. As we think about unknown believers' battles and victories, I want us to think about how Shamgar was a worker, and also how Shamgar was a warrior, and also finally he won. So let us think about the believer. In our lives, we are to be workers like Shamgar. The name Shamgar, it is an obscure name in itself. Very little is known about his name, but it could mean the sword, or it could mean the cupbearer. Either name would fit the details which we have concerning this man. He was like a sword in the hand of God, and as God used him to destroy the enemies of Israel. And also he was like the cupbearer who brought the cup of God's wrath upon the enemies of God. One thing that we know for sure about Shamgar was that he was a farmer. He was a farmer. He carried and fought with an ox goad. You and I cannot fight with an ox goad. But a man who has used it in his life, a man who is well skilled in the use of his tool, is able to also fight with it. And that's where I am saying that this man who fought with an ox goad was a man who used it in his work. And the ox goad, I trust you know, it is not a weapon. It is not a weapon. It is an agricultural tool. It was a pole about 8 to 10 feet in length and about 2 inches in diameter. One end of this ox goad was tipped by a long iron point. And this end was used to encourage the oxen, to poke them and prod them, as the oxen would not maybe listen to the instructions and would not move forward. So the farmer would use that to encourage and guide the oxen. That's why it's called an ox goad. But the other end of this tool was shaped like a spade. It was a metal blade at the end of it, which was used to clean things with, clean wet clay of tools and the roots and the impediments of plow points. Another thing we know about Shamgar has to do with the time in which he lived. Here was a man who was, as far as we can tell from the tool that he is using, he is a farmer, he is well used with the use of this tool. But also, it is interesting to note the time in which Shamgar lived. We already read about Ehud, and we have learned that the times of the judges were difficult times for the people of God. In these pages of Judges, we learn something of the time in which the people live. They were oppressed. They were an oppressed people. At this point, they were oppressed by Jabin, the king of Canaan. He was a very powerful enemy who possessed, the scripture says in Judges 4:3, 900 iron chariots. His army seemed totally unbeatable. And as was custom in those days, he probably would not allow the Israelites to arm themselves. And we read about such things in 1 Samuel 13. It was a time in which the people of Israel were filled with fear, fearful times. In Judges 5:6, we read about such things. They were afraid to travel in the highways because of their oppressors. They were afraid to live in their homes because of those who invaded and attacked them. It seemed that while Israel was oppressed by Canaan, they were also attacked from the Philistines. We will talk about them in a little while. One great lesson that we can take away from Shamgar is that God tends to use those who are already busy. Are you a busy man? Are you a busy woman? God tends to use those who are already busy in his work. When God called Shamgar, he called a man who was already busy. He had his tool at his side. Shamgar was a man who was actively working to feed, to care for his family. And so it was that he was ready to defend the cause of God. He was ready to defend his own nation. The scripture says he also delivered Israel. He was ready to do such a task. God used him as his chosen instrument, an unknown man. Friends, God does not use people who are lazy in any great fashion. When he looks upon his people, his church, what does he see? When he looks upon his church, he places his hand upon people who are already working for him, laboring for him, are actively engaged in his work faithfully. And if we are Christians, we need to remember that he has saved us, he has redeemed us to be his workmanship. That's what we read in the scriptures in Ephesians 2:10. And as we are faithful to work in the small tasks that the Lord has assigned to us, whatever it may be, you may think it's a small thing, mundane task of daily life. You do the same thing again and again and again. As you are faithful in doing those things for the glory of the Lord, he uses us for greater service. Friends, if he cannot trust us to do the small tasks, he will never trust us in greater ways. Let us not say, I am only doing this and that. Let us not say, I am only keeping the home. I'm only raising children. I'm only working in this back office. I am only studying this. I'm only doing this. No, let us say, I do these things by God's grace for His glory. I aim to be faithful in these tasks. Yes, I might work in the background. My name will not be known. But I do it for the Lord who knows me. And my times are in His hand. He has provided for me. And I shall serve Him all the days of my life. The day in which we live, my friends, are hard days. Hard days for God's people, for God's servants. It seems that from every direction there are attacks made upon the church, upon God's truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It seems that the government and society are growing in their hatred of the Lord and His work. It seems that hearts are becoming continually harder against the message of the gospel of God's saving grace to sinners and God's call to salvation. It is hard days to raise families. It is hard day in the ministry. It's a lonely work. It's a lonely work. Often God's people labor alone with little encouragement. They look alone to the Lord. However, as I have said already, these are the days the Lord has chosen for us to live and to work. It's a challenge for all of us to do the best that we can where we are. Serve the Lord in whatever sphere of life the Lord has placed you, in your home, in your business, in the church, in the ministries. Serve the Lord faithfully. Remember our Lord Jesus Christ. Did He not work? Did He not labor from eternity? He labored. At creation, He labored. All things were made by Him and for Him, the Scripture says. Did he leave anything undone when He was on earth? Did He leave a task unfinished? No, at the end He cried, "It is finished." And we praise God for Him. Does He not labor now? Does He not now make intercession for us? Does he not sustain all things by the word of His power? Does He not keep us? We are kept, the Scripture says, by the power of God. How wonderful the Lord is. And will He not keep us forever? Will He not, as the Lamb we read in Revelation, He will lead them and feed them? The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest of workers. He does not shun work. He does perfect work. Let us look unto Him, my friends, in our working. But also let us see Shamgar and ourselves as God's people, as warriors. Unknown believers must fight. As I said before, Israelites were oppressed. They were an oppressed nation at that time by the Canaanites under King Jabin and his powerful army. Jabin had disarmed the Israelites and had made them weak militarily. They were not in position to defend themselves. And this provided an opportunity for the Philistines to come. And they were a warlike people who lived near the Mediterranean Sea. And it gave them opportunities to take advantage of the situation. Here was a weak people. They could not defend themselves. And so the Philistines would invade Israel and capture slaves. They would steal the crops and they would destroy the villages. When the Philistines came, most of the people in Israel would flee in terror. You see, they wanted to avoid death or capture. But Shamgar, he stood firm. Shamgar, at that point in time, refused to flee. One man against so many. And in his lifetime, he killed 600 of the Philistines. When that day that first day the Philistines came, he stood his ground and fought. He did not have any weapons of war, but he had his ox goad. And while this was a tool, it could also be used as a weapon. It would have replaced a spear at one end, and it would serve as an axe on the other end. And with the long pole, he could use to block the blows of the swords of the enemy. And Shamgar, he had only this tool, and he took it when the enemy came. And he used it to secure victory for his people and safety for his family. And over the course of his life, he every time the enemy would come in, he would defend, and he would fight for what was right. And friends, this teaches us much. Yes, he was a man, you think about it, a man who would use such a tool to kill 600 men. He must be physically strong. But my friends, his power was not merely physical. His power was spiritual. There are people who think they can do various things. They can fulfill many tasks. They can battle and work in many ways, but in their own strength. Shamgar was a judge in Israel, and the judges were given strength from the Lord. Shamgar must have looked to the Lord. A man could not stand against enemies like that by himself. Natural fears would set in, but not a man upon whom the anointing of the Lord is. And as we have to battle and as we face challenges in life, who is your strength? Who is my strength? It must be the Lord's, or we will fail. It must be the Lord who would strengthen us and give us the victory and give us the skill to fight. Isn't that what David prayed for? He was a man empowered by God for this task. There can be no doubt that the Spirit of God enabled Shamgar to stand and fight the battles. He stood the ground and he fought while others ran away. It is easy to run away. So easy to run away. When pressure set in church, in family, when we have to do something and we see our duty to do something, it is easy to run away, my friends. But Shamgar knew what was right, what was worth fighting for. He had his eyes fixed upon God, and he knew what was the cause of God. By his victory, he secured many things for his home, his family, freedom for the land. He delivered Israel, it says. He was a fighter and was used in a mighty way by the Lord. Can I remind you that while we are called to be workers, to labor hard and work, we are also called to be fighters. There is a great warfare that is going on in spiritual things. And we are called to fight. The Lord Jesus Christ, he enlists his people who are his army. And they are to set about their business with the spiritually fighting. He gives us his armor. To be able to fight, he gives us his strength, he answers our prayers, and he causes us to win. And do you know, my friends, there are people who have died in battles in this nation, who've died. The world will see them as not being victors at all, but they have been more than conquerors through him that loved them. They were faithful unto death. And so the Lord calls us to the same. We are at war. And there are things that are worth fighting for. Some things cry out to us. They stand out for us. That we must stand our ground and fight for them. If we do not fight and protect the things that matter the most, we will see them taken away by the enemy. And there are many things that churches have lost due to the fact that they have not stood faithful, due to the fact that they stopped fighting. They just aim to be positive and positive and positive. What are some of the things? My friends, Satan is with his army, and deceptive work is winning against the home and marriage in this society. Our marriages, our personal purity, our spouse, our children, my friends, are worth fighting for in this day. There is no sacrifice too great or price too high for those whom God has given to us, for us to care for them. For those brothers and sisters around us who are maybe by themselves. We must fight for those in our homes who are not yet converted. Their hearts are being taken away. We should fight to death if it is necessary to protect them from the world and Satan, to introduce them to the things of God. We should be aiming to introduce our homes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to pray for them. That's how we fight. Not with an ox goad physically, not with sword and spear and gun physically, but upon our knees daily. The church is also under attack. The world would slip in and take away the things we value as churches. Things like the Word of God, things like the preaching of the Word and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world would take away, and Satan would take away, the worship of God, the reverential worship of God, doctrine, sound doctrine. And so many things are under attack by Satan and the world. Every day it seems that the world makes inroads into the church, and we must be willing to fight and die for the things that the scriptures show us, that we rightly believe in. And you think about the lost. You think about the unconverted. The unconverted do not know God. They are dead in trespasses and sins. And by nature, they have no care for God. Do you care for God? Do you care for the gospel? But it is us who must stand and fight for their behalf. There was someone who prayed for me before I was converted. There was someone who was on their knees and prayed so that the Lord would save my soul. And so if you're a child of God, you too. There was a mother and a father. There was a sister. There was a brother. There was a colleague. There was a friend from church who prayed for you. And the Lord answered. They fought a fight, and the Lord gave the victory. The Lord answered. And the lost have no knowledge of God, the scripture says. But we do. Should we not fight for them? Should we not win them? So it is such a challenge. Christ also fought. He worked, but also he fought. Fought a great battle. He shed tears, he shed blood. Oh, he fought for us. He fought for us on the cross, did he not? He went through the agonies of Golgotha, he suffered, he battled, and the least we can do is to fight for him. And he now is our great advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous, the scripture says. He defends us. He is our advocate before the throne of God. When we fall, he shows himself as our great high priest to shed his blood for us. What battles do you face, my friends? In whose strength do we fight these battles? You are alone, but not completely alone, because you have the Lord. Christ fought an alone battle. He was truly alone. All forsook him and fled. But through his loneliness, he is now our friend. He is always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. We are weak. You think, I am so weak and I cannot go on. I do not know what the solution might be. But he is our strength in our weakness. You think, I have made so many mistakes. I do not have the wisdom to know what to do. But is not Christ our wisdom? We are such fools oftentimes, but he is the one who guides us into the right ways. We are unskilled, but he gives us the skill. He is the one who shows what we must do. And finally, Shamgar, the winner. The Bible tells us that he delivered Israel. His courage freed the people around him and allowed them to live in freedom and liberty. He made a difference in the lives of those he fought for. And we are fighting, as we were saying earlier on, about the things that truly matter, real things. The world does not know reality, but the Christians know reality, because we are seeing things from the one who has created all things. And the Christian might be seen by the world to win very few victories here. But in spite of that, the fight is still worthwhile, because we are fighting a good fight of faith. And as we fight those battles, the future generations have better things to hope for. They would have better future. If we can pass down a pure gospel, if we can pass down a holy church who is zealous for the things of God to the next generation, we have been successful. Yes, we may have had many things said against us, but if we can pass down the things of God to our children and to those who are coming on in the church, it is all worth it, my friends. If we can hear our Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," at the end of the way, we have been successful. When we see our children, when we see them growing and coming to know the Lord, to see the children in Sunday school coming to know the Lord, to see people in other spheres of ministry and our personal witness coming to the things of God, it is all worth it. Dear saints, let me encourage you today by this very obscure man, Shamgar, the judge. Let me encourage you today to stay in the battle, not to give up, not to think that what you do for the Lord does not count. Let me encourage you to take up whatever the Lord has given to you, the ox goods in your life, and use them. Don't lay them down. Use them for the Lord. Do not run away in fear of the enemy. Some are running away to even joining the enemy. I encourage you to stay, to fight, to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to keep witnessing, to keep preaching, to keep teaching, to keep living for Christ today. to keep witnessing, to keep fighting for those things that do truly matter. Friends, we are too near home to quit now. Be like Shamgar and fight the battles in your life. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as you feel quitting, as you feel like stopping, you look to the greatest example of steadfastness of all. You look to Jesus Christ, who never quit. Imagine if Christ quit. Imagine if he stopped. Imagine if he gave way. No, but he fought. He faced the greatest of odds ever encountered by any man. He fought the greatest of battles ever waged by any man. He stood his ground, and Christ, he used his cross. He went on the cross to defeat the works of the devil. Let his example inspire you to keep fighting, so that you can say with the apostle, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What should you take, my friends, from this message this morning? He fought, this man of God, Shamgar, he fought. Where and when he was, you are where you are because of God's choosing. You are in this time in your life. Do not wait for your circumstances to become better. Do not wait for tomorrow. Work and war now. He fought with what he had. Read Matthew Henry, please, on this text. He is a great help. He fought with what he had. No matter how weak we think our weapons are, put them in the hand of God and see how the Lord can use such mean things. He used the ox goad, a farming tool, in the hand of Shamgar. He used the rod in the hand of Moses. He used the sling in the hand of David. Shamgar stood his ground. Do not be discouraged if others leave you. Do not be discouraged if you are laboring alone. And he left the results to God. Every time he fought, he could have died. Every time he fought the battle, he was risking much. But the reason, the fact that he went ahead and he fought his battles, it shows that he left the results to God. We cannot save a single soul. Salvation is of the Lord. We cannot stir up within man's heart any true spiritual emotion, but the Lord can use his truth, his word. And he finally enjoyed the victory. Every time he fought, he walked off the battle the victor. God honored his faith. If God has spoken to you about this matter of fighting, this matter of laboring, go and seek him this morning, friends. Remember too that Christ is fighting on our behalf. Remember that we shall be victors at last. Let us not give up, but look to the Lord in all things. And at the end, we shall cast our crowns before him, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. Let us turn to hymn number 481. 481.